Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's the fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Logan's on the injury update, but trying to make his way back.
Hey, man.
I feel you, man.
I just want it more, Dave. Nothing is going to sideline me this week.
You need to do more.
Do more.
That's hashtag. What you need to do. That's right. I'm going to get ready for this weekend.
I have been taking extended naps in the afternoon. I've not had coffee the last couple days. Coffee seems to like trigger my symptoms of my what's essentially a sinus infection. I'm not sitting in here contagious. I'm just a stopped up mess, man.
Well, hope you feel better because that
Thanks,
is
Dave.
No fun. No
Got
fun
four,
at all.
4 days to get right.
That's right.
For Notre Dame.
Former Georgia head coach, College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan here in the studio with us for another hour, Coach.
You know what the doctors say about, seriously, the doctor up in West Virginia told me one time about a sinus headache. Said if you take the right kind of medicine, it'll take you 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And if you don't take any medicine, it'll take you 14 days.
That's about right. It's like walking into a doctor with a broken toe. They're just going to slap you on the back and wish you luck. I mean, that's about all they can do, so. We'll make it.
Oh, good stuff.
You got to suck it up and go,
that's
man.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, no, this
big
is
big game week. Here we
this
go.
Week we've been
so we
counting
got some
down for
good
ever.
Questions today, I hope, here. We got
yes, we do.
Plenty of things to talk about.
So we'll look ahead to the SEC games and the national games the bottom of the hour, but we always like to try and get to some of the emails now. We had a lot roll in today, including our man Strap Dog.
Uh-oh.
Who
I thought he was in the mountains. Where's
he is,
Strap
he
Dog?
Has, I think he is off in the... In the montañas.
The montañas.
Yes. But anyway, muy interesante. But anyway, Strap was wondering, and we talked about this a little bit in the first hour, about the awesome love that the fans show to Arkansas State head coach Blake Anderson. And he was just wondering, you know, the Notre Dame fans were really good to Georgia a couple of years ago. Did you have a place or places you liked to coach that weren't, you know, like when you were at Georgia or – when you were at Marshall or Oklahoma, that kind of stuff. Does anything stick out to you? Or is those are always business trips for coaches, weren't
they? Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't get too caught up with the other team's fan base. You know what I mean? It's just one of those deals. Obviously, there you got your teams that you just bitter rivals, but the most bitter rival we ever had, any place I ever coached, was Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. It was just bad. I mean, those people hated Oklahoma so bad that we had to hate them back.
Well, I still love that story you always tell about, I think it was you and Mary coming back from the Oklahoma State
game.
So
afraid we're going to lose that I finally just barfed at the end there. we won on the last play of the game. They dropped the ball in the end zone and I was I just pulled off the side of the road and just let it go, man.
Now that's the stress and pressure of finally just building up.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
so afraid. At Oklahoma, you know, we very seldom lost, and that was close to losing. But to lose to them would have been like, and Coach Switzer used to always say to recruits, you know, you could go to the moon and come back. 50 years later, it's not going to be any different. It's going to be Oklahoma. That's the way you'd do it. And but that, it was a tough, bitter rivalry. I mean, I remember recruiting Mike Gundy, who's the coach there, you know, the guy that's got the mullet. And we had
– He's a man.
We had Jamel Holloway, and I was trying to convince him to do the gray shirt thing, you know, come in and – sit out a year and then you know come in a year later and then by the time but he went ahead and went to Oklahoma State and started as a true freshman and
he's from Oklahoma
he's from right over there and Oklahoma City, played at Midwest City High School, and his brother Cale was a really good quarterback who 2 years later signed with Oklahoma when my last year we left. But we went to see on the official visit. I mean, you know, when coaches could go one time, we went over to see Mike Gundy, and Cale opened the door. Cale was in the ninth grade. And I knew Cale because I'd been visiting with the parents.
Right.
And Cale told Switzer, said, "Hey, you coming to see the wrong quarterback. You need to be recruiting me, coach." Coach liked that.
Yeah.
I mean, a ninth grader telling him that. And Cale's still coaching. He's a receiver coach for OU. He's been there for a long time. And
isn't it weird to think how that's – now, as far as wins and losses, Oklahoma has still dominated that series. But wouldn't it be weird to think how the – things would be different if Mike Gundy had gone to Oklahoma instead of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, but, you know, we had Jamel and
but just as
Charles
far as, like,
Thompson,
the coaching and everything else.
Right, he ended up – but, you know, his dad was an exterminator and had all these – you know, it was not with a big company. It was just did private stuff.
Right.
And his mother's name, Judy Gundy. I never will forget it. She wanted her son to go to Oklahoma so bad because she'd been an OU fan. And then – she turned like a big dog to Oklahoma State.
I'm sure. And I guess that was Pat Jones, right?
Pat Jones.
Yeah.
Pat Jones owns the Guinness Book of Records for saying quite honestly. quite honestly, we got a good football team, and quite honestly, Oklahoma got good players, but quite honestly, we're going to show up. You understand that? Quite honestly.
Oh, that's great stuff. All right, here's a question from Sawyer. Sawyer, and I'll add
is
on
that
to it.
Sawyer up there in Kentucky, Sawyer Smith?
big fan of the morning show.
That's right. Sawyer,
that's
good. Right. Let's have it.
So I'll add on to it. Because he says, who's your favorite player that you've ever coached? I know I've asked you. You say you roll Champ Bailey into the best player you ever coached. But did you have a favorite player you coached? Not necessarily a best player, but a favorite player? Other than Todd, of course.
No, I was going to say Todd, but but really, I don't know that anybody was my favorite. I mean, most of these guys were, you know, you had some that didn't get along with you, but I mean, I would hate to single out anybody, but I tell you, a guy that was the most one of the most unselfish and was probably the second best player I ever coached was Keith Jackson.
Yeah,
and just a tremendous athlete, and we didn't throw the ball much, you know, but he could do it all, and he wasn't getting the ball much, and you got to remember, he was 6'4", 250 pounds, and he went up to Switzer, and he said, "Coach, I know we're not throwing the ball much and everything, but you think I can return punts?" Because he wanted to get the ball.
Yeah.
So we went back there, and he could catch him. He let him fair catch him, but he was an unselfish player. And just,
God, he was so good.
And he told old when he got Philadelphia Eagles drafting him, they told him – he told him right there, he said, "Y'all got the biggest steal ever in the draft."
That's good stuff. All right, Tony says, when it's a big game week like this week, how much you have to hype your team up? Can you feel a difference in practices and stuff like that? I know Brian Kelly was asked that question the other day.
You know, the buzz is, I mean, just a rhetorical question. Say, "Hey, let's get ready for Murray State," and, "Hey, let's get ready for Notre Dame." I mean, come on. That's just the way it is. People know the buzz around campus, everything, and you've been pointing toward this game with a lot of your practices in the spring and the summer, working on some of their stuff. But the kids see all this stuff. They know the national implications of it and, you know, everything going on. But the main thing you got to do is we got to take care of our business. We can't get focused on what they do, you know, except knowing their tendencies and knowing their stuff. But we got to play like any big game. We got to avoid the mistakes that hamper a team in big games. You see it around the country. Like last week, inexplicably, Michigan State got 12 men on the field when they're kicking a field goal to tie the game. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, those are mistakes that just hound you.
Speaking of, I didn't think about this until you just mentioned this, but how can you be down 17-10
Are you going to hit me with Pitt game?
Yes.
Hey, let's go for the field goal. And then yesterday he went through a
he dug in.
But he's a very
he's a maniac on the sideline.
He goes, I mean, it's not my deal to critique the Pitt coach, but
but that's just coaching 101.
I thought he was playing that game not to lose there. Yeah. You know, I mean, that situation. I mean, you just talk to your team. You know, on every coach that I know of, you have a meeting on Saturday morning. You talk after the players go. You talk about the game itself, you know, about any kind of changes in conditions. You know, is it real windy? Do we need to defer? If we're an offensive team, usually we'll take the ball, you know. But in this situation with the wind, are we better off deferring and having the wind behind their back? You know, there's some injuries we've heard about on their team. All of a sudden, can we attack this corner or one of our guys is out? How are we going to do that? But the other thing is, look, if we're in a situation at the end of the half or end of the game, what are we going to do? And you talk about it right there. If we got fourth and 3 and we're behind this, you know, you go over all these situations, you got a checklist, and you just can't get emotional and do like the other day. Coach Marone went for 2 at the end of the game when they're playing out there at the Texans, the Jaguars, and they lost their quarterback the week before, and they're playing with a backup quarterback, and he got a chance for 1 play to win the game, and they went for 2 and it didn't work. But
yeah.
Usually, if you got to get a feel for what's happening during the game, you know, and if you feel like you got a better chance of winning in and with a 2-point play than you do overtime, you go for it.
In that case, Pitt,
I mean, I don't see any way you can justify that. I mean, you can rationalize it any way you want to, but you're playing your big rival who you haven't played in like 10 years. You know, Penn State and Pitt used to always play, and then they didn't play for a long time. I got to feel like you got to go for that.
That was a little bit mind-boggling, to say the least.
And then the guy missed it, didn't he?
Yeah, he bonked it off the upright. So they didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, I know. I tell you, one of the best feelings I ever had was the second game I ever coached, freshman coach. We're playing Duke and scored. John Gutekunst, who ended up being a really good defensive coach and coached at head coach at Minnesota, mm-hmm. You know, good coach. His son's actually works in the NFL now as a GM, assistant GM. But anyhow, they score with like a minute to go against us, and he didn't have overtime back then. This is 1969, and it's 28-27, and they kick. I can't believe it. They kick, and the guy missed it.
Oh,
I mean. After the game, I said, good call, John.
Sure he wanted to hear that.
I mean, seriously, that was a real thrill, though. You know, you think they're going to go for 2, and they go for the tie, man. Duke trying to tie NC State freshman.
All right, Stevie T is asking a question.
All right, Stevie.
So remember the Mississippi State game a couple of years ago when the Dogs ran the flea flicker to start the game there, and it turned into a long touchdown. What goes into the thinking of that first play or that first series or that first drive?
Yeah, you know, some teams will what they call script the first 15 plays. And the reason you do that is you want to incorporate what they're going to do against some different looks. You know what I mean? So you've got maybe 3 or 4 personnel groupings and you got different – you want to see how they're going to adjust to them, you know. Or you just say, look – if we got the ball in good field position, we're going to go for the throat on the first play, you know, and you practice it, and you got to feel like their defense is going to be over-aggressive, and you might be able to hit the big one on them. So that goes into the thinking, you know. Usually people used to get on us at Oklahoma. We know the first play is going to be the fullback give. You're just going to give the ball to fullback and fill it out, you know, and one time we faked and threw a pass and we got a standing ovation. Everybody went nuts because we threw the ball on the first play. But I think it's just feel for the game and all. I'm not big on setting up this script or anything myself. I just like to get a feel for what you always talk to your players about after the first series is like, let's say you're the tight end and Logan, you're one of the linemen, and you come over there and say, hey, how's this guy? Is he as good as we thought he was going to be, or is he not as good, or blah, blah, blah? And then you had to, you know, and you want your players to be able to say, look, I'm going to need some help on this guy, or I need.
Well, you know, Russ Tanner's told us that before, where he says after a couple of drives, he's, you know, you'll hear your players will say, coach, I got to get some, like you were just saying, I need some help here. This guy's killing me.
Hey, Jerome Brown, our left guard, Pope, said, coach, we got somebody got to help me with this guy. But we had a guy that played for us at Oklahoma, Anthony Phillips, and we're playing Oklahoma against Nebraska for both of us undefeated, and they got two defensive linemen, both of them are going to be just unbelievable players in the pros. And I told him after the first series, let me know what you can do. And he comes up, we march the ball down there and we score, and he comes over there to the sideline and gets on the phone. He said, coach, I own that. And then he said, SOB. You know, I said, okay. And but this is a guy, Neil Smith. Remember Neil Smith,
yeah, from
drafted
Nebraska.
Fourth and the big long arms? But he said, I can just get into him, coach. I can get into him.
Well, how many times? I mean, that's when you need an honest evaluation from your players. But how many times do you think the other team was like, this Tony Casillas guy, we got to get some help here? How many times in practice was he just so disruptive you couldn't get anything done?
I've told you before that Switzer used to tell Gary Gibbs that when we had a scrimmage, if he was going to play Tony Casillas, he wasn't coming to practice. He said, we can't practice. Tony Casillas was easily the most disruptive guy that I ever played against in practice. I mean, what a weapon. But he just wasn't any fun. You couldn't analyze your team because he played every play like it was conference game too. You know, he wouldn't take anything, and so Switzer would tell him, say, look, just keep Tony out so we can practice.
Those are the players that I think kind of they stick out for sure, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys dominating defensive linemen, you know, just like Quinnen Williams last year. How about the way he dominated? I mean, just
boom.
And that's what I can't understand. Oklahoma had all that time to prepare for Alabama, and then they tried the first three series to single block him, and they couldn't do it. They went three and out the first three series and wasted the whole first quarter. But what kind of coaching is that when you got a chance to plan it? You got a game plan for Quinnen Williams, man.
You know, he kind of reminds me in a sense, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, because he really blossomed when he got there. I know Jonathan Sullivan, the same thing, but you recruited him and brought him in. Is he kind of this, where he blossomed?
Well, Jonathan Sullivan didn't have a good pro career.
Right.
He was a good player, but, you know, we had Seymour and Stroud and those other guys, but Jonathan was more of a developmental type guy, but he had good speed to go with his size, and he didn't have the motor that maybe Seymour had.
Well, I tell you, he was big time MVP of that 2002 team.
Oh, he was big,
so
big
good,
time. Big time,
so good. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us too, and I think our man Fireball Rodney says, Logan, you know
Fireball.
What you need, don't you?
What do I need? Yeah, I know what I need, Fireball.
Logan doesn't drink anymore, Rodney.
I know, but I'm willing to give it a shot now if that's what it takes to make this go away.
Remember Fireball Roberts? Whew. He used to do all the
racing.
Absolutely.
Yes. Let's see here.
Fireball? He's asking him to take a Fireball to help
him. He was telling Logan he needed some Fireball.
Back in my glory days, that's exactly what would have happened. A little drink it off.
That's good.
Grandpa's old cough medicine.
Glass of water and hammer.
There you go.
To you too.
Keith says he'd like to see Champ Bailey be the guest picker for game day on Saturday.
That would be
great.
I know they're going to honor Champ before the game.
Yeah.
It's always an interesting. I asked Chris Felica, who's the bear.
Mm-hmm.
I said, who's going to be the guest picker? And he said he didn't have any idea. That was last week, but maybe I don't know what they're going to do.
How they decide that and when they decide it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but
Let's see. What else was I going to say about? So when, what are your memories? And I know it's not the game stunk, but what were your memories of '98 when game day came here for the first time and they set up on the roof at the Tate Center? What all do you remember about that? The game sucked.
Just remember we couldn't block their middle linebacker. That we really played poorly that day and had a chance. You know. who would have thought that that was a team that's going to win a national championship? Because a week before they lose Lewis for the season against Auburn, and we had it humming, but for some reason we just couldn't block their middle linebacker. I mean, he ran through the whole game. But I remember meeting Kirk Herbstreit for the first time then. You know, that was 21, 22 years ago, and he was just a young guy, but he was very smart. And then I'd known Chris Fowler a little bit before, and then, of course, Coach Corso, I'd met him through coaching a lot of places. But we did a very poor job on offense that day, very poor.
I guess you had to, like, they had you up on the set, up on the Tate Center. Did you do the pregame with them?
I don't even remember. I don't remember what.
It's just so weird to think that. And the backdrop was really cool, but it's weird to think if that were.
Yeah.
You know.
So where's it going to be now? Myers or what?
I was told yesterday Myers is the plan, barring any unforeseen rain event, which is not in our forecast at all. So Myers, and if it has to be moved for whatever reason, the Special Collections Library.
So, which is, for people that don't know
where on campus it is, it's the new Terry buildings. It shares a lawn with that.
Right.
Very close to downtown. Myers Quad is a great location also.
You know, they had that for the SEC there one time when the SEC people, because I didn't know where it was. I was supposed to be on Paul Feinbaum's
show.
I couldn't
show.
Figure out where to go. We went to Myers, and they said, come over here to the certain. I said, where is that? That's a new place over there. If you take a left there off of Lumpkin and then go up there and then take the first right, it's up there.
Right, right. Now, is the SEC Nation, now where are they going to be this weekend?
They are at Texas A&M for that makes Auburn. Sense. So they didn't want to come and compete for space. I get it.
Yeah,
that
wouldn't make sense.
I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to look ahead when we come back, see what kind of games we're looking at for the weekend ahead. It's 9:28. And got a Southern Daily.
Weekdays noon to 1 on Athens' Voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref.
Welcome back to the Morning Show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan, Dave, Coach Donnan, all present and accounted for. Telling some stories and talking some Georgia football. Got hour number one, should be online momentarily in case you were not up listening, as you should have been, but it'll be available at 960theref.com for your podcasting pleasure. And then University Tire and Automotive, Bulldog Friday night. Dave and Coach will be down at Blind Pig Tavern. I'm going to pop my head in there, Coach.
All right,
I don't know if y'all are able to give me a microphone, and you shouldn't, but I'll at least pop in and say hello because downtown is the place to be Friday night.
Always at the Blind Pig on Friday nights.
Absolutely.
Definitely so. Love it. Absolutely love it. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody. And I have a feeling there might be some Notre Dame fans hanging out in there.
Yeah, we kind of took over South Bend and Chicago when we went up there. And that's the thing about Athens, though. No matter you're Notre Dame or South Carolina or Auburn or anybody or whatever non-conference opponent, where you look at your schedule and you are playing at Athens, Georgia, it is a destination site where people want to come here and experience what is the glory of downtown Athens. It becomes a harsh reality when you travel around to other schools. Not every place has a downtown Athens. It is a very real gem of just college towns, and people want to see
college
it.
College town in America.
That's right.
It's the best.
I told you last week when we, 2 weeks ago when we played Murray State, after the show, I was walking outside the Blind Pig, and these two guys from Texas A&M asked me if they could take a picture, and I said, sure. And I said, what are you guys doing over here? He said, well, we can go to Clemson anytime. We come over here to Athens the night before the game.
So, I love it. Absolutely.
That's really cool.
They were scouting out their plan.
Are they coming back?
Yeah. When they play us later in the year.
Coach.
That'll be another big
atmosphere. Speaking of
too,
A&M, hosting Auburn this weekend, too. What do you think of that?
You know, Auburn's defense really is good. Athletic, got some big guys up front. I worry about their offense being able to throw the ball. They just don't seem very functional passing at this point. But they ran up and down the field on Kent last week, particularly in the second half. haven't seen a whole lot of offense out of A&M. You know, I think it's been a low-scoring game unless A&M's defense is worse than I think it is. But I think A&M's got a little bit of advantage playing at home. But, you know, Auburn's won the last two, so it's going to be a tight-fit game. And it's going to be a lot riding on Auburn right now because everybody's talking about, you know, Gus Malzahn on the hot seat and all. I mean, they had the big win over Oregon early, but, you know, they got some tough games coming up, LSU, Georgia, Alabama. So this is a game they got to win, you know, to keep the momentum going. But I tell you, I think Auburn maybe is as good as they were on defense last year, not as good on offense, and Texas A&M probably not as good overall as they were last year at this point.
Odds makers say A&M 27-23. So we'll
see. 4-point favorite?
Yep, 4-point favorite.
Yeah. I love that Dave has his formula now.
Low scoring.
It's easier when the point spread's lower. All right, what do you think about Tennessee and Florida?
Not much.
noon kickoff down
in Gainesville.
Is
this your pillow fight of the week, Coach?
No, I think Tennessee certainly is better than what they've shown, yeah. And I don't think that Florida is anywhere near what they've been. But, you know, unless Florida just turns the ball over and plays sloppy, they should win. But I think Tennessee will keep it tight.
Florida 31-17, according to the odds makers.
I feel like Tennessee has a better chance than that. I mean, I'm with Coach here. I think Tennessee keeps it close. I think Tennessee is very capable of winning the game. I'll give it to Florida because it's in the swamp, though.
Florida will have to lose it. From that standpoint, they'll have to. This kid, you know, came in there and didn't have a lot of pressure on him all week, you know, and then he just came in and seized the moment. Now everybody's talking to him, interviewing him, and all that, and they're going to have a chance to game plan for him. I think certainly it'll be a lot of pressure on Trask this week. I look for him to use Emory Jones, though. I mean, he's such a dynamic quarterback. I think they got to get him ready. If they're going to win big in the SEC, I don't know that Trask can do it. He might can, but I don't think that's the style quarterback that Mullen used. You know, he usually has a more dual threat guy.
All right, say true or false on what I'm about to say. Felipe Franks.
Is this a George Foreman question?
That's a serious question.
Remember when George Foreman used to be on the Hollywood Squares? Every question they asked him was true or false. He couldn't be wrong.
So Felipe Franks to Kyle Trask is similar to Quincy Carter to Corey Phillips?
I guess so. I mean, you know, Quincy he didn't run a whole lot. He could, but he liked to throw the ball. I don't know. I can't really make that analogy. Corey Phillips a lot better to me than Trask.
Oh, okay. No, I love Corey. I just didn't know if that was kind of a similar.
Congratulate Corey and Demetric Evans and Malcolm Mitchell for getting in that 40 under 40 in the business school last week for the University of Georgia.
It's fantastic.
All three guys have done well off the field.
All right, Coach. Let's see what else we got here Saturday. South Carolina at Mizzou in the Battle of Columbia.
You know, I really don't know how good Mizzou is, and a lot of the reason is because they lost to Wyoming, but they look like they really have a pretty good running game to go with their passing game, and defensively they're going to get challenged, but I was really disappointed in South Carolina's defense last week. Their secondary looked confused the whole game. Of course, those receivers from Alabama can certainly mix it up and make you look bad, but Mizzou should win this game at home. They lost in a tough one last year when that game was delayed for the weather there in Columbia, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I would expect Missouri to win this one.
Vegas says 37-27 Missouri.
Sounds about right.
They're a 10-point favorite?
9.5, yeah, I rounded up, yeah.
Okay.
Does that sound a little surprising? No?
I think it'd be a high-scoring game.
Kentucky at Mississippi State. Is this the pillow fight?
Yeah, it'll be a physical game, but Kentucky, you know, I was disappointed in Mississippi State's offense against K-State. Just you'd have thought they would be better offense. Of course, the quarterback's been hurt, but this is going to be a physical game, low scoring, and means a lot to both teams, though, because both of them already got one loss in the division. So I don't think either one of them's a threat to win it, but it puts you behind the eight ball if all of a sudden you got two losses.
28-20 Mississippi State, according to Vegas. They were also telling us they were going to beat Kansas State last weekend.
I have a tendency to take the Kentucky Wildcats on that one.
Yeah, yeah. How about will there be an LSU takeover of Nashville this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a lot of LSU fans up there. You know, the game started out at 19. It's up to 24 already, isn't it?
Crazy, yeah.
But that's because everybody's seen Notre Dame. I mean, it's seen Vanderbilt. And then they've watched the way, you know, last week it was hard for LSU to get ready to play that team. They played Northwestern, and they just Northwestern State, and they fiddled around for a long time and then pummeled them. But I look for this to be an ugly score unless, you know, I look for it to be really ugly.
Yeah, it's – I mean, it's probably going to be similar to what Georgia did to
them,
right?
As we pointed out yesterday, Coach, there's going to be, surprise, surprise, somebody with a ticket to Georgia-Notre Dame that doesn't make it to the game on Saturday night. We also agree there's some LSU fan that has a ticket for the 11 a.m. kickoff that may not make it to the the Vanderbilt game on Saturday.
They will have started the day before.
They will party game, hard Friday into Saturday.
That game starts at 11?
11 Nashville time.
Yikes.
That's a rough one.
That is indeed a rough one. Hey, nationally, what do you think of Michigan visiting Wisconsin?
You know, this is a tight-fit game. I looked at it a little bit because I knew you'd ask me about some national games, but a lot of pressure on Michigan. I mean, the guys 1-5 against, you know, the top teams, and the last time they went there, that Taylor kid was a freshman, and he got about, like, 130-some yards rushing. I like this Cone kid at quarterback for Wisconsin. He's solid. I think he does some good things. But, you know, we'll just have to see. Michigan, it's hard to judge a team playing the wishbone and all that. But this is a definite tough crossover game for Michigan having to play them. I think Ohio State's playing them too, Wisconsin. So we'll see. But I'm going to pick the Badgers.
Well, they're a 3-point favorite. We're being told they're going to win 23-20.
Yeah, it'll be a very physical game, and that's a great home field atmosphere up there at Wisconsin. Those people do a great job, and we played them up there in the Sleepy Floyd game. Sleepy Floyd was our punt returner. He dropped two punts inside the 10, and we lost 35-34. Just terrible. Sleepy was not awake.
Is that why he transferred to play basketball at Georgetown?
No, it's a different Sleepy, but he had the same name. But you know where Sleepy Floyd's from originally, the one that played for Georgetown?
Where's that?
Gastonia, North Carolina.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he played at Ashbrook High School. And
how'd he get out of the state?
Coach Smith told Coach Thompson about him. He didn't recruit him, and he should have, but he told him about him.
Hey, one other one. I want to ask you about this, too, because Logan and I have been talking about this. So Ole Miss is playing host to Cal, so it's kind of an interesting non-conference game. That's a noon kickoff in Oxford, which means 11 a.m., but for Cal, that means 9 a.m. their time. If you're – I mean, well, first of all, would they have to travel over on Thursday instead of Friday? And secondly, if you're the coach, do you say – hey, TV, I get it, but you guys are making us kick off at 9 a.m. our time. I guess TV doesn't care.
They don't care.
No.
I like the Cal Bears in this game. I like their defense. I like their coach. Coach Selfo's son is the O-line coach for the team that Southwestern Louisiana played them last week. And they felt like going into the game they had a good shot against Ole Miss, and they played the heck out of them.
They only lost by 11.
And I think Joseph Selfo is doing a good job down there as an O-line coach. And I just think Cal beat Washington. They got a good defense. It's going to be a low-scoring game because you see – This Ole Miss pretty good defense, but their offense really struggling.
Yeah, the over-under is just 44 for that game. So, it's a low-scoring game.
44, that's not many.
Not many at all. 23-21.
It's a jet.
But Ole Miss, that like line yesterday, Cal was the favorite. Today, Ole Miss is the favorite. So it swung back around to Ole Miss.
It's like that guy says, this is a Jesse James game. I said, what he means is, what shot Jesse James? A 44.
Love it. All right, Coach. We only got about a couple of minutes here. Before we – Logan, you can throw out. Yeah. Before we let you go, Dogs in Notre Dame, what's it going to look like on Saturday night?
You know, I feel like our team has really done a tremendous job preparing for the season, the way they worked spring practice in the summer, in the summer workouts. And now fall, they've just been totally focused on the big year. And, you know, the expectations for our team are really out the gate. There's no question about it. But you got to be able to face the facts and do it when everybody's watching. I just feel like we got a big edge with a veteran quarterback and a great running game. Our play-action passing should be there. Our kicking game really looks good, returning and kicking. Defensively, we fly around. I feel like this is a game that if we do our stuff, we should be in good shape. But, you know, there's a lot of nerves involved, and, you know, their quarterback can make plays and keep the drives alive. Sometimes you get tip balls, a lot of things could happen. It's going to be a physical game and a lot of good athletes out there, but we got more players than they do. I like Coach Smart, the way he gets his team ready to go. I feel good about this game.
How can you not, right?
I'm sold.
It's all building up.
Coach got me voting for Coach Donnan right now.
Vegas says 36-22 Georgia.
See, that makes me a little nervous.
What do you think of that, Coach? 36-22 Dogs. I'll take it.
Is that what your pick is? I don't think
so. That's the Vegas.
I don't see them scoring that many. They could, but, you know, you just never know how somebody's going to react in this kind of environment. You know what I mean? Sometimes a guy will get beaten that you don't expect to, a double move or – But
well, the only touchdown that Georgia's given up defensively has been a busted coverage against Murray State, so –
Yeah, think about that.
But Murray State got shut out last week by the Toledo Rockets, 45-0.
Speaking of the MAC,
they scored 17 on us.
Tennessee, they did lose at home to Georgia State, right, Logan?
Correct.
And then How about Western Michigan, 57?
And Georgia State beat them 57-10. I'm just making sure I got all my numbers correct.
57-10. You know, the reason I know about that, Drew Wilson, one of our trainers for Ron Corson over there, is a Western Michigan graduate. And he's always telling me about Western Michigan and all. His dad was actually a trainer there for a long time. And that's just a huge win for them to beat Georgia State badly. And, you know, Georgia State was down against Furman and came back. And Furman was ahead of somebody last week, just inexplicable. Looked like they were going to win there against Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech's in trouble right now. They're just not a very good offensive team. And, their quarterback transferred to Maryland's having a big year, that Josh Jackson.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, hey, enjoyed being with you. Like all the questions. Look forward to Friday night. We should have a
– Can't wait.
Can't wait to hear what James has to predict. And Tom's little
ditty's
going to give us some of those. But it's gonna be a fun weekend. And this is why you build a program to get this kind of national exposure that Kirby's done. I'm very proud of what he's – built here.
Potentially the biggest game in Sanford Stadium history. All right, Coach, thank you so much. We'll see you Friday for University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night. It's 9:49.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.